Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is cozying up to dictators, his obsession with Hitler that has now come out, what he has said about our veterans, and what he wants to do with the military against his political adversaries. It's all huge news. This is the future that we're looking at in the next Trump term, if there is one. But this is what voters know right now, that he is killing us. I'm talking about us women. He's killing us. He is putting us at risk. He is making us afraid to have babies. He is putting our reproductive health at risk. And some women have died already because of this. So we can see right now what's coming. These headlines, and very good reporting, by the way, that shouldn't be questioned by idiots about what Trump has said about Hitler. That's incredibly important to know. But I do understand that people who are busy and that are people who are just tapping in may not be able to comprehend, because we've been free. We've been comfortable. We cannot comprehend that. And I understand that. I validate that it is hard to go from here to there. It is where we're going. I hope we don't find out the hard way.
Happy Friday, St. Louis.
Wow.
Mika's not okay. But that made me okay with Mika.
All right, so
see what we did there?
So the Trump, did she say Trump is literally killing us?
Mika, Trump is not why you're not having babies. That's all I gotta say. That's not why you're not having babies. Stop projecting. It's embarrassing.
I'm making a little bit of a leap here. I get the sense that maybe Kamala's not doing that great.
It makes me feel that way. Which also, you know, happy Friday, St.
Louis. Happy Friday.
Hey, 57 years, hey. Mika Brzezinski is, and she's married to Joe Scarborough. Why are you not having babies?
Trump.
Duh. He's the source of all of the problems, is he not?
Yep. I think, not that Trump is like the most pro-life guy in the world, but I think you could make a pro-life case that even pro-lifers actually do want you to have babies. They're not preventing people from having babies. They're encouraging people to have babies. I think that's the whole pro-life movement.
I am frustrated with these stories that are not being reported with truth and honesty about. There are women who have died because they haven't been able to recover from abortion services they've given themselves. I've gone to speak at Vitae Foundation event after Vitae Foundation event after Vitae Foundation event as an MC. I've done, I basically opened for the Coalition Life, St. Louis March for Life, and I marched to the arch with hundreds of people this past winter, I guess it was.
March.
And, The understanding of what the abortion pill does, you can get a pill in the mail from wherever they get sent out from, because there's a lot of different places that will do it. Is it mifepristone? Is that the right name of it?
Mm-hmm.
Off the top of my head. It comes to you, you take it, it forces an abortion of a fetus. You think that you're 8 weeks pregnant. Now, I've had 4 babies, and I've also had 1 miscarriage. I know what it was like to go through a miscarriage that started at home. There was bleeding. There was pain. It was uncomfortable. When you take that pill, it causes you to have an abortion. Listen, you have a baby growing inside of you. That has to come out. If your pregnancy that you thought was 10 weeks along is really 14 weeks along, that baby is bigger. They grow very quickly at that age. If everything isn't flushed out appropriately, there are women who bleed out in their bathrooms because they don't realize what's going on. It's a completely unsafe environment. Like, the advocation of this type of an abortion service, accessibility for people, is not healthy for women. And when they take these abortion pills that they legally have access to, or in many cases can also, you know, kind of illegally have access to, if they can get the pill, they can take the pill. They're putting themselves in a position to have this procedure done that is not being supervised by a doctor. And it is damaging to women, and women have died from it. Now, people are saying, Annie, seems like you're making the case for legal abortion. Well, here's the deal. If the initial pill isn't taken and the woman isn't going to, what was it, sepsis, the Georgia woman, Amber, I believe is her name. If she wouldn't have taken that pill, she probably would have had a healthy pregnancy, and then she would have had the burden of having a baby. And that's a different problem to solve. I get that. I'm not advocating for the death of any baby, but I'm also not advocating for the death of women. There's the difference. And Mika Brzezinski, like, when she's talking about this stuff, they just glaze right over the facts of the matter. The truth is that as somebody who is vehemently pro-life, I can explain to you what happened to these women that they are using right now for a political point, which, you know, do they have the right to do that? They do. You can judge them for whatever you want. I would just prefer that they would use the facts while they're using them for a political point. When they're talking about these instances, they're not giving the full picture, and they're not doing that on purpose. They're doing it because they're fighting for something that is the golden goose for their political victories. If abortion isn't a factor in this election, how big does Donald Trump win?
Well, it's massive. I mean, you probably have the red wave
states.
In 2022 and even more so now. Yeah.
It's a huge political issue. I, as a woman, like, I was thinking about this the other day. I am not in a position to want to have another baby. It's not that I wouldn't want to raise another baby, but I don't physically want to go through pregnancy. I have a very tough time being pregnant, and it's just, I just throw up multiple times a day. It's just absolute miserable. And I don't want to go through that again. And if I got pregnant right now, I was just thinking about this just the other day. If I were to get pregnant again, there are a lot of abortions that end up happening because women get pregnant late in life. And they're like, I cannot go back to that. I cannot do this again. I wouldn't choose that for myself. I would have to push through that just like I pushed through the other four pregnancies that I successfully had. But I could see how people who didn't have a moral conflict with the idea of abortion would be like, I'm 40. I'm not doing this again. You're crazy. And the ease with which you can just go get it taken care of, you could never tell your husband. You could be in the most picture perfect, upper income, everything's going great situation. You get pregnant, you're 42. You don't want to have that baby. You just take care of it. And when we think about abortion, we always think about, like, what is the conversation about abortion always about?
Single moms.
Rape and incest.
Oh, well, that too, yeah.
I mean, like, that's the main, like, if you are against abortion, you're okay with 12-year-olds having to carry their father's baby? Like, no, that's not what we're saying here. To which I always respond, rape, incest, and, you know, the life of the mother is something that I'll talk about here in a second, but rape and incest, I concede all ground on that for the sake of a political issue and discussion. Rape and incest, what if we compromise and I say, completely not in that case, abortion is completely legal. I believe a life is a life, and the baby is still not less valuable because of the way it was conceived. But for the sake of the conversation, let's set all of those aside. The truth about the life of the mother thing, you don't ever have to murder a baby to save the mother's life. You may have to deliver a baby early, and that baby may not survive an early delivery, but there's never a reason to piece apart a fetus to pull them out of the womb. There's never a reason to do that instead of to just deliver C-section or whatever the baby so that the baby comes out. You provide it the same care that you would should that mom just have wanted that baby. So in that instance, I don't really believe in abortion, but I do believe in the ability to preserve the life of the mother, which may result in the death of the baby. When I listen to Mika freaking out on MSNBC, I mean, if you haven't seen this video, we ran it on our YouTube channel, but like, she's not okay. She's not okay. These people are not going to be okay if Trump wins. And the more that they are freaking out like this on their networks, the more comfortable I feel like Donald Trump's going to win, and the more nervous I get that I'm not going to be okay, because I'm getting too cozy in the thought of how well Donald Trump appears to be doing in the polls.
I see things like that, and I think about yesterday's Annie Fry Show poll about what do you think about violence after the election, and that actually makes me more nervous that there are still people who are going to lose, not just fringe people, because yesterday I said it is mostly fringe people that commit the violence. This is mainstream media. She's having a breakdown in front of tens of thousands of people. That was a little
tens of people.
A little joke there about the ratings. but she's having a breakdown in front of the camera, and she's supposed to be one of the leaders of the party, in a sense, that if they're not going to be okay if Donald Trump wins, there's a lot of people that are going to have these breakdowns publicly, privately, all over the place, more than we think.
I don't want that for them.
I don't either.
I really want them to feel like, wait, this isn't going to be as bad as I thought. This isn't going to, like, I want that for them. But, you know, because I don't really think that Mika wants that for me. I think that if Kamala Harris wins the election, I don't think Mika wants me to know that it's going to be okay. I think she wants me to suffer for the idiocy that I've exposed to people by saying that Donald Trump was a better choice. I think she wants me to suffer.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, though. If Donald Trump does win, I think these people who are going to really lose, like, their worldview is hinging on this. If they lose the presidency and the power of government, ultimately, I think they're going to want it to be as bad as they thought it would be, because it's confirmation bias. They can't admit, oh, this isn't actually that bad. They want it to be that bad because then it affirms their emotions about it.
Well, if Trump wins, they'll be miserably better.
Well, okay.
Which is fine with me. They're just incredibly out of touch. Another example in how far out of touch the leftists in the media are, I'm going to give you Don Lemon. He's talking to a veteran here. And listen to the way he talks to this guy who's trying to make a simple point.
So people called you Jason. What did you say?
I'd be like, that's what's up.
You would say that. You would say, that's not my name. That's the only reason I said it. And I would respect you enough.
If my name was Jimmy.
Hold on, Jimmy. Jimmy, Jason.
Yeah.
I respect you enough to call you by the right name.
Understood. Well, if my name was Jimmy and you called me Jason and Jimmy was running for president and didn't receive a single vote in the primary, I would take more issue with that versus you calling me Jason.
I'm taking issues with both of them. Because I would take issues with both of them if I believed what you said. I don't believe that what you're saying is accurate, but I still.
Is it not accurate that no one voted for her? She wasn't primary? Is that not accurate?
Hang on 1 second. One does not negate the other. You can respect someone and call them by the right name and also believe at the same time that it wasn't a democratic process. So
correct.
You can get
so which is the bigger ticket there. Item, people mispronouncing a syllable or the democratic process being neglected?
I would say both. I think you have to respect.
So here you got Don Lemon.
That's amazing.
Don Lemon.
Wow.
The side that is like, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. What is democracy? You've got this veteran here who's saying, like, okay, I don't know if he initially said Kamala or something like that. All Don Lemon cares. Don Lemon gets a point on his personal scoreboard that he carries around with him when he gets Mr. Kamala to say Kamala. All this guy wants to know is, so what's a bigger issue here? The Democratic Party, Kamala, the Democratic Party picking their nominee by selecting them and coronating them when that individual has never received a single vote in our electoral process. Not a single vote. What is a bigger deal? That or whether or not I say Kamala or Kamala? And he says, I think they're equal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me not go to you for the description now of what is a threat to democracy, because you have negated your ability to have any sense of brain cells on this issue.
Now, I don't know if you're planning on playing the rest of that clip there, if there's more to it. It looked like there was a little bit more. But the body language, you can't hear this if you're listening. That's why I encourage you to tune in and see it on the YouTube stream right now, on the Annie Fry Show stream. Because the body language of the guy who is responding to Don Lemon is not aggressive. he is like, I don't even know if I want to be talking to this microphone, but I'm going to make a point here.
I don't even know. I don't know anything about this guy, but he looks like a stoner.
He does.
He kind of looks like he's chill taking a stroll on the street.
Heck yeah. Yes. Like he had surprised a surprised that he was there going, you know what? I got a couple points I'm going to make. You're like, hey, that guy surprised me a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just, Don Lemon is not okay either. And all that matters is what happens on November 5th. I cannot allow myself to get comfortable in what it looks like the truth is right now. My big concern, and I haven't had anyone explain this to me in a way that makes me feel appeased at it, but like, if you have summing, taking everything and summing it up in a very simple point, like let's say you have 100 voters, and usually 90 of those voters vote on election day, and 10 of them vote early. If you have 90 of them vote early and 10 of them vote on election day, you still have 100 voters. I need to know that the numbers that we're seeing in early vote right now materialize in a greater total number. And I don't know why we know that yet, and I need to see it. We're going to take a quick break. Joe Mackey's going to be in studio with us, comedian, regular on Gutfeld, and he's performing at the Funny Bone Streets of St. Charles tonight. You need to go get your tickets. Have you done that yet? StLouisFunnyBone.com. He's performing tonight at 7:30 and 9:30 p.m., and there are two Saturday shows as well, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Tickets available at StLouisFunnyBone.com. Joe Mackey on The Annie Fry Show next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, anytime we're going to have a comedian on the show, we want to make sure it's nice and mellow before we bring in Joe Mackey here.
Low energy.
Yeah, this is low energy Joe.
Hi.
Oh, wait, we've got the wrong guest in here. Joe Mackey, welcome to the studio. Comedian, regular on Gutfeld. Check out Joe Mackey on Instagram. Thanks for being in here today. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Let's just keep the whole appearance very mellow.
Keep it chill.
Keep it really chill.
Okay.
You want
to Well, no, I want you to lead.
You went into your chill voice. Okay.
I did because I'm trying to follow Joe's lead, and then you're a little hot right now. Like you're
Thank
coming
you.
In a little a little too loud.
Joe, we were just playing. I don't know if you got to hear these clips from Mika Brzezinski, Don Lemon as well, but watching the information through polling and early voting, now that we actually have legitimate numbers, it feels as though one side of the political campaign that shows itself through the media doesn't seem to be doing okay.
No, and I'm going to defend Mika real quick here, because if I were married to Joe Scarborough... It would always sound like I was holding back tears when I talked. It wouldn't matter about what.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see the new Star Wars?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way most people respond to the new Star Wars.
Oh, good Lord.
I understand.
I knew as soon as I came up with that reference, I was like, that was a bad reference. Because, I mean, usually they're tears of rage, though. I'm like, you ruined Star Wars.
Do you Are you a Star Wars person?
I used to be. I used to read the books.
Yeah?
I liked the original trilogy. I liked the prequel, somewhat, they needed an editor, mm-hmm. but no one's perfect. And when Disney bought it, man, they did great with Rogue One. Rogue One was awesome, but they've ruined that franchise.
Do you feel like, okay, in the world that I specifically hope to live in, where Donald Trump wins, I feel like that will be indicative of Americans who have had enough of sitting around and keeping their mouths shut, trying to be nice, trying to be kind by not pushing back on things that kind of emulate themselves in these really weird versions of Star Wars, which, like, they completely don't respect their audience. They're trying to force something into the face of their audience. Like, I feel like the cultural repercussions of Donald Trump's gives zero F's about all of this stuff, like, that could potentially broaden out into culture quite a bit should he get reelected.
A lot of people think The Mandalorian had a great deal to do with Trump's surge in the polls of late. Just... And the acolyte. Oh, I should have said the acolyte.
The acolyte. Yeah. No. The lesbian witch circle where
it's
like... Yeah,
the Mandalorian's pretty good.
You have lesbian witches. That's a plus, but not for a Star Wars movie.
It's all about time and place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you anything to say, Ad Brett? You're like Star Wars guy.
He is a man after my own heart when it comes to this stuff. He's spot on. Everything is right. The original trilogy, great. The books, great. The... prequels, okay.
I was mad.
Rogue One, good.
I was mad when the Force became something that was in your blood, the midichlorians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, oh, we didn't have that before. It was just something kind of mystical in the universe, yeah. almost like a religion, and then they changed it to this thing that's in your DNA, and I'm like, what?
See,
and
I
then it got
Star-
even, then they're like, no, it's not in your DNA, it's lesbian witches. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't keep up.
I don't know enough about Star Wars to know if what he's saying is legit or jokes.
Well, don't Google it at work because Safe Search is on.
Safe Search.
And nothing will come
lesbian
up.
Lesbian witches?
Yeah, nothing will happen.
It's Halloween. It's mainstream.
Neither do I. I just read that somewhere.
Right.
I'm not a big Star Wars nerd.
What comes first, politics or culture? And does culture influence politics or does politics influence culture? How do you feel about that?
I think politics is influenced by culture. Sure, that was an Andrew Breitbart kind of mantra. But, you know, I have a feeling that culture used to be bottom up and now it's top down. And that's where a lot of the frustration comes from. It's like what you said about Star Wars. It's someone decided we're going to take this amazing franchise and ruin it. The fans weren't asking for lesbian witches.
No.
I mean, some of them were if they got my letters, but not most of them.
Did they execute that the way you saw it materializing in the show?
Well, they had that weird chant. They're like, we are one, we are many. I'm like, these aren't the lesbians I was talking about.
These aren't the lesbians you're looking for.
I wanted them to be in a bowling alley or a softball game.
That's the ones you were looking for? Actually, I'm going to have to Google that.
That's a shirt.
I don't know.
Man,
I don't
you need
know.
That witch circle to say these aren't the lesbians you're looking for.
I don't know where they're finding their lesbians is all I'm trying to say.
Let me ask you this. Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, the ability to lead culture, the ability to move people, not because they've said the thing like, oh, that guy's Hitler. And then everyone's like, oh, okay, hadn't considered that. I'll vote for you now. Donald Trump's ability to influence culture versus Kamala Harris' consistent attempts to lead culture. What do you think about these two?
You know, one person's funny and one isn't. And you can't teach that. Trump has natural comedic timing. Like even during the Al Smith dinner where he said something about men and a woman cheered. And he's like, that doesn't sound like it. He was in the room and that's just instinctive. And it's something you just can't. You can't fake.
Mm-hmm.
So Kamala's just too scripted. It's a little boring. They tried. They tried to manufacture into this joy thing, but joy's like laughter. It's an emotion. It's a guttural thing. You can't fake that. So
that's why it's great.
Yeah. It just falls flat. So
we got Joe Mackey in studio with us here. He is a comedian that you can go see at the Streets of St. Charles Funny Bone, stlewisfunnybone.com. Get your tickets for tonight, 7:30, 9:30, tomorrow, 7 and 9 o'clock. Write that down, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bailing me out of that culture question.
Yeah.
Though I was going nowhere with like a Kamala town hall answer.
I was
going
to follow up on that with you,
I was
you,
about
though.
To say that there was the duality of democracy. That's how I was going to end it.
We already know how that ends.
I was going to dismount that way, but
Joe, do you? We've made this. We had this conversation earlier, maybe a week or two ago, that it's kind of interesting that I don't really have a distinct visual in my mind of what it looks like for Donald Trump to be full of laughter, like to, you know, have the belly laugh where his head goes back or whatever. You don't see him laughing that way, but yet he's really funny. And then the converse of that is you see Kamala Harris laughing all of the time and nothing is funny.
Yeah, for her, laughter is a defense mechanism. It's how she gets out of answering a question. It's like if I got pulled over for drag racing again and the cop's like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Makes you look totally innocent. You Did you get going? Out of that ticket?
Yeah, so you want to do another promo? I got nothing else after that.
We gave you a long space after that.
I'll be at the Funny Bone, St. Charles.
Tonight, 7:30, 9:30.
7:30, and there's also shows tomorrow. I don't know when.
7 and 9.
Right. That's it.
JoeMackey.com. Go check out his website as well. You work on Gutfeld. How often do you have like a regular schedule that you hit, or how's that work?
Yeah, I'm one of the main writers. I call myself the head writer, even though the producer says that's not true. But I just wanted to give myself the credit I deserve for making that.
Here.
No, we got. I write every day, even when I'm on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I was clicking away all this morning. I'm not writing now, but we got the show pretty much set. But as often as I can, I'm trying to make Greg look funny, so it's pretty much a full-time gig.
So, Joe, when you are watching the day and you're trying to... Do you just have a joke come to your head and then you just put it down and put it away? Do you have to sit down and focus on that?
I have to sit down and focus on it. It's gotten a lot harder because there's so many shows doing political stuff. Anyone on X can chime in. I want to have an original take, so so I always try to do that. Like, my take on the McDonald's thing is it's a brilliant thing that Trump did because he's the first politician I've seen call out a rival's lie by doing the thing that she lied about having done. And I just wish that trick was around when Bill Clinton was president.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you very much.
Trick.
See, I let you figure that joke out in your head.
Yeah, we needed a minute. Is it funnier? As a comedian, you said, you know, Kamala Harris isn't funny because we don't laugh with her, even though she's laughing all the time.
Well,
there's a lot of laughing at her.
She's not even saying something that's a joke. It's like, hey, did you like it when Kamala said that she's made mistakes? Anyone that's parented a child knows that. I'm like, well, that's not even the start of a joke yet. The start of a parenting child joke would be like, oh, I left my kid in the car the other day. It was hot out, you know, and that didn't go very well. You know, at least you have to raise the tension somehow, not just state something that happens.
Do you think that she, do you think she's self-aware? Because in my mind, it's not like she can get out of this at this point. And
she's more like Skynet pre-93.
That's very specific.
Yeah.
3 or 4 weeks ago, things started going south, and she hasn't really recovered. Pretty much after, I would say, the convention, she can't get aboard herself out of this situation right now. Do you think that she knows that she's not good at this?
Well, one, I'm going to push back a little bit. I don't think that she was ever leading or doing as well as people said she was doing. I think there was this whole media narrative that kicked off to try to rebrand her, and there was a response bias in these polls, or the polls are just conducted badly, that people answer polls when they're excited. So their views really have... Most people's views don't change. There's these slow, long political realignments that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you see these, like... You know, if Kamala was up in a poll by 4... a month ago, and now she's down by 2. There really wasn't a 6-point swing in the electorate.
Yeah.
But to your second point, no, she's not a real person, and she's not trying to be a real person. She's trying to be an inauthentic person that she thinks will win votes by not telling you what she actually thinks. So It's a smart strategy if all your positions are terrible and people aren't going to like them if they know what they are.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I do. That middle class thing, brilliant. Filibuster. Filibuster as much as you can.
Talk about your lawn.
Yeah. Yeah, I came from a middle class area because people like lawns.
People in Arizona probably don't like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, but
you know?
Also, like, what a weird flex for middle class people, you know? Yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, things are going pretty good. Have you seen my lawn?
And that's it. Like, that's the depth.
Look, look, I got an 05 Hyundai Elantra in the driveway.
Look at the grass.
Look, I'm not sweating it. I'm not sweating it. I've got a 42-inch flat screen and Netflix without the commercials. I pay the extra $2.
You're kind of describing utopia. I don't know. You realize you're in the Midwest right now, right?
Let me ask you about this. Where, like, are you from somewhere specifically, from all around? Are you a New Yorker through and through? You got a Pittsburgh hat on with the little P, I noticed.
Am I from somewhere? What's that supposed to mean?
Well, that's what we need to know.
Are you from anywhere?
Yes, I'm from here. I've never gone.
I often get the statement, you're not from around here, from strangers. But yeah, I'm from State College, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It's the Paris
of
Pennsylvania.
Have you met Scott
Pressler? I have not. I'm not in State College a whole lot, but I know what he's doing. He's trying to get the vote out there, which is a smart strategy. Finally, the Republican Party's trying to do something bottom-up instead of top-down, because, you know, that's where power comes from. Democrats understand that much better. But yeah, I grew up, born and raised State College, graduated from Penn State, but I've been in the New York City area a lot of the time since then. I recently bought a place in the Poconos, so I spent a lot of time there.
Good for you.
Yeah.
When Tim Wallace comes out, and he was marketed to everybody as like a palatable male Midwesterner. I just want to tell you, as somebody who is from here, and I'm not male, but I am Midwestern. These two obviously are male Midwesterners. I just wonder what it was like from the outside looking in. Like, if you had never seen a Midwesterner in real life, I hope he didn't sell the country a bill of goods on what Midwestern really is, because Tim Walz is a different kind of dude.
Yeah. He said, like, normally something doesn't fit when he's loading a gun. I'm like, no. It always fits. It always fits. It's just like, if the Democrats wanted a masculine candidate, they should have asked someone more like me, you know? Someone with, you know, some guns attached to his shoulders, you know?
Yeah. Tune into the YouTube Live. It's a gun show.
He keeps flexing.
Yeah.
I'm as comfortable at a rodeo as I am at a museum.
You sound like it.
Yeah. I can't name a museum, but I'm comfortable there.
Yeah. Clearly. This is him just in his element.
Oh, I know.
I'm not making this up right now.
Maybe we should do another promo.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I got nothing.
We'll all be quiet so you can cut it.
stlewisfunnybone.com, the streets of St. Charles. Get your tickets tonight, and you can see this live and in person, 7:30 to 9:30, two shows tonight, and then tomorrow, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., stlewisfunnybone.com. I want to ask you about your Pirates hat. You a big Pirates fan?
I'm a moderate Pirates fan. It's hard to be a big Pirates fan.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. They have been futile for since 2014, after being futile for 22 years before that. We finally made the playoffs a couple of years in a row, and now we're rebuilding again. Mm-hmm. And it takes us longer to rebuild than it takes California to build a train. So I have to wait. I have to wait a long time before we're good again. But we got some good young talent. We got Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
That guy can throw some smoke.
Yes, he can.
So watch out. Watch out, Cardinals.
Well, we're rebuilding right now, too.
Watch out, Reds.
A lot of Reds.
Brewers.
Can you name the rest of them?
Brewers.
One
Cubs.
More. There you go.
Yeah.
Are you a lifelong Pirates fan?
Yeah, ever since I was born. Because you don't become a Pirates fan later in life.
It's
like
not
smoking.
A choice.
It's like smoking cigarettes. The information is already out there.
It's a nature versus nurture thing. All nature.
Yeah.
Phillies, what do you think about them?
Oh, the Phillies. I don't have an opinion on the Phillies. I'm winking. You can't see if you're listening. But I don't want their fans to threaten to kill me again.
Okay. We've heard about the city of brotherly love.
Yeah. Don't mention Bryce Harper's contract in a negative light.
A hazard to your health?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Let's take a quick break here. Joe Mackey's in studio with us here on the Annie Fry Show. His shows are tonight, 7:30 and 9:30. There are a few tickets remaining, so get on the website right now. 7:30 show or a 9:30 show. Is there a better show? Is one better than the other?
I would say they're all equally good.
All right. Great. Great endorsement for your shows. stlewisfunnybone.com. Get those tickets for tonight, Saturday as well. Two shows, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. We do the Be or Not the Be on Fridays, Joe. We're going to figure out if stories or satire are or not. You want to stick around for that?
Oh, of course.
All right. Ryan Wiggins is in charge of that. So let's take a quick break. This mellow music. This is the most mellow song we've ever played on the show. We'll be right back.
The bee or not the bee.
All right, as we usually do on Fridays at this time, these are stories that are either fake or real. Some of them are from the Babylon Bee. Some of them are real. I'll read the headline. You got to tell me which is which with our special guest, Joe Mackey, still here. Thank you.
If you're interested in getting tickets to see Joe Mackey this weekend at the Funny Bone Streets of St. Charles, go to stlewisfunnybone.com and get your tickets before they're gone for tonight's shows, two of them, 7:30 and 9:30. And Saturday, there's two shows as well, 7 and 9. I tell you, as somebody with four kids who doesn't always get to get out and do things like this, when I go to the streets of St. Charles, when I go to the Funny Bone, I wouldn't consider myself to be this type of person. But when I did go out, I laughed. It was almost medicinal for me to go just have an evening of laughing until you cry. You will do that tonight. So if it feels uncomfortable for you to go to a comedy show, if it's something you've never done before, this is the one you want to go to. stlewisfunnybone.com.
All right, here's the first one. Tell me whether it's real or the Babylon Bee. Frustrated Democrats to consider letting voters pick the presidential candidate next time.
Joe, you thought Bee?
I think Bee.
That sounds like the Bee to me. What do you...
Yes, indeed, this is the Babylon Bee. According to anonymous sources, Democrats are so irritated about how poorly Kamala is performing that they might even decide to run a candidate who received more than zero primary ballots in the next election cycle.
It's bare minimum.
Quote, how did we even get here? Cried a distraught Chuck Schumer. Fine. I guess we can let a little bit of voter input on who we run next time. Just don't get used to it, voters. All right, that's the Babylon Bee. Next one. Democrats explain Trump was going to be Hitler during his first term, but he forgot.
I mean, I can't imagine that actually being a real headline.
USA Today. No.
Did you see that the Washington Post today, right before the show started, they announced that they're not going to endorse Canada this year?
I did see that. It was surprising.
What do you think about that?
I think maybe Jeff Bezos wants to... stay on Trump's good side.
Okay, I like the way you think.
Yeah,
I like the way you think. And didn't they in their message to whatever press release say that they aren't going to endorse in the future either?
Or maybe he laid off the people that did the endorsing.
Maybe.
Nobody else there knows how.
Yeah.
Where the heck is that endorsement?
Where's the endorse guy?
Oh, we fired them. Oh, sorry. Well, we won't be doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right, rest of the story.
Is it the B?
It is the B. According to retired General John Kelly, former President Trump often talked about how he kept meaning to find time to be Hitler, but he kept getting distracted by other things. Quote, on several occasions, Trump told me word for word, this is it. This is the week I'm going to be Hitler. But then Trump would get started doing something like handing out candy to minions, and he would completely forget, explained Kelly.
Isn't it funny? Like, we've talked about this before, but when Donald Trump was at the White House and people were trick-or-treating, and he put the candy on top of the minion's head. This little kid's walking around like a minion, and he's just like, boop.
And it falls off his head.
Yeah.
And then he just walks away. The kid just walks away.
That's a good story.
If you're that age, though, the most important thing is not that you became famous because Donald Trump put candy on your head. It's that you lost that candy.
Yeah, probably.
So,
Joe,
that's
are you a costume guy? Do you like costume parties?
No, I don't.
Like the worst thing? And
no, I you just grow out of that stuff. You know, that's the thing. Adults don't grow up anymore. It's a big problem. But to me, it's much more interesting when the Easter Bunny moved Biden away from the reporters.
That's a lot of power in that.
Yeah, because to kids, the hierarchy made sense. Like, of course, if
so you're saying it's indoctrination.
If there's a magical bunny that gives away candy, of course he's more powerful than the president.
That's so true.
Was Jill Biden visibly present at that event?
Are you suggesting she was the bunny?
I don't know what I'm suggesting.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I want to think she's the bunny.
I want to think it was Hunter. And that nobody knew he was coming.
That's how he got in.
Speaking of,
if it was Hunter, he's not wearing pants in that costume.
He understood half the assignment.
I can tell from those bare legs that is Hunter Biden in that costume. All right, based on what you just said about Washington Post, here's the next headline. Far left Los Angeles Times refuses to endorse presidential candidate.
That's true.
True. Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, that is real. LA Times, Los Angeles freaking Times, as the not the B puts it, isn't going to endorse any candidate this time around, even when the former senator and AG from California is on the top of the ticket. 2008, it was Obama, true. Obama, Clinton, Biden. This year, no endorsement.
Is there any irony, Joe, for you, for newspapers to come out, like, you know, papers of record or whatever, and be like, we choose this candidate?
I don't know who endorsements work on at all, you know? Like, sure, there's probably a number of women that would vote for who I told them to vote for just to curry my favor, but it won't work, ladies.
What's that number of women?
8.
That's pretty good.
Do you feel like is there an undecided voter in this country?
Yeah, there are some, but honestly, most of them will vote based on the price of gas. So, like if I were president, whoever's running the country right now, I would release more money from release more barrels from the strategic reserve.
That's actually very, yeah, very
that's,
true.
That's true.
Yeah.
Next Speaking one? Of not to be, here we go. Trump forced to cancel campaign rallies for next 2 weeks as time off request denied by McDonald's manager.
I'm just gonna go out on a limb here. I just assume it's the B. Anybody disagree?
That's just real.
No!
Here we go. Former President Trump has been forced to cancel all of his rallies for the next 2 weeks after his request to take time off was denied by Brad Norris, his manager at McDonald's. Quote from Trump, I told Brad it was very important and really needed the time off. He just said that serving delicious golden fries in a timely fashion was also important and told me to get my priorities in order. I have to tell, I was mad, but I really respect that Brad guy. Tough guy. Very smart.
I love that you added it's the B right before you started reading it.
Yeah,
just
it
out
is.
Of clarification.
Joe, McDonald's move, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but was that brilliant by Donald Trump to do that?
Yeah, to me, that picture where he's waving in the apron from the drive-thru, that's just good fun. That's Norman Rockwell right there. I think people were saying, you know, the customers were, you know, they were pre-screened. Well, I wish they did that every time I went to McDonald's. like I don't want to go to that McDonald's. They haven't screened the customers yet.
Yeah.
One time a guy asked me to give him a ride when I was eating my McDonald's, and I'm like, I don't want to give you a ride. And he was dumbfounded that a person eating McDonald's wouldn't just...
Why did it bother the people, you know, the allegation that it was staged? If Barack Obama, who is also a former president of the United States, went to a McDonald's, and we talked about this in the show, he could pull that off. He could have gone to a McDonald's and waited on people. He could pull it off in a way Kamala couldn't, because Barack Obama is a genuine dude. But,
yeah.
But I mean, like, they would pre-screen everything for him, too, because he's the former president of the United States.
Yeah, he could think off his feet. You know, you might not agree with his politics, but no one said, like, he didn't have the ability to think. Hillary Clinton.
Standards have changed.
Yeah, you know? She can shoot lightning out of her hands.
Do you, Hillary Clinton coming in here in the bottom of the ninth and saying, oh yeah, Donald Trump is Hitler and the Madison Square Garden thing is Hitler-esque.
Well, first of all, that was a different Madison Square Garden. We're on the fourth Madison Square Garden. That was the third Madison Square Garden. That was it. That was in a different location. So if you really wanted to redo it, you would have to have that one built again.
So clearly.
Yeah.
evidence do you need, Hillary?
It doesn't add up. Do your research, Hillary.
She checks notes. Oh, crap.
Well, she's probably listening, so.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
That's the last we'll hear from her. It's embarrassing for her. Last one before we run out of time here, maybe. Tulsi Gabbard finally realizes she's far too attractive to be a Democrat.
Oh, that is funny. That's got to be a B.
B?
I mean, yeah, it's the B.
Okay, fair enough.
Gabbard is currently ranked as the 43rd best-looking member of the GOP, though. 21 spots below Thomas Massie.
Oh, and Thomas Massie, far from
attractive enough to displace someone at the top of the food chain like Ted Cruz. However, sources at Fox News say that she's more attractive than enough to get a spot at their outlet whenever she retires from politics.
Are you a Tulsi fan, Joe?
Oh, I think Tulsi's great. Attractiveness? Boy, it's a tough list. Lauren Boebert's got to be up there.
Yeah.
Katie Britt, she's easy on the eye.
Yeah.
Rand Paul, how about that hair?
Mm-hmm. He took a dark turn there at the end. I'm not here to judge. Well, Joe Mackey, thank you for joining us in studio. We love having you in here, and I hope that our listeners heed my advice here. And go to, if it's your first comedy show you've ever been to, go tonight, go tomorrow night, and enjoy laughing. We need to laugh right now more than ever, and Joe Mackey will have you doing that for sure. At the Funny Bone Streets of St. Charles, 7:30 and 9:30 tonight shows, and tomorrow night, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. Tickets are available at stlewisfunnybone.com. Joe, thanks for being here. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, come back again soon.
Thank you.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back in the next segment, we'll find out what we missed in the week. And also, your Ask Us Anything questions on the YouTube live chat poll. Let's go. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.